Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Yesterday on the Beacon Broadcast, we concluded our study of the first epistle of John. Whenever we come to the conclusion of a book study, an expository series through a book of the Bible, the question is always, where do we go next? We need to select another portion of God's Word to study together. That, of course, is always the question in my own pulpit ministry. Where do we go next? It would be easy for me to take a little detour at this point to say that in my early ministry, I thought that to be spiritually minded, I needed to pray each week and have the Lord direct me to what text, what portion of His Word He would have me preach that week. And then the next week, I would do the same thing with another portion of God's Word. And somehow I had the idea that that's what it meant to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. But as I got into expository preaching early in my ministry, and I had a love for that and a commitment to that early on, but I didn't do it exclusively. But as I got into that in my early ministry, it became apparent to me that the Holy Spirit can lead in the selection of a book as much as He can lead in the selection of one text for one Sunday. Strange ideas we get in our minds sometimes. Why do we think that God is leading us, that we somehow have the leading of the Holy Spirit if we only do it one week at a time, but somehow the Holy Spirit of God can't guide us into what book to study next? And when we have chosen that book and believe that God has led us into it, then we've got our preaching series laid out for us for many weeks and months to come. But it's just as much the leading of the Holy Spirit that way as the other way, right? Well, of course it is. Well, I pause to welcome you to this Wednesday, April 3 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to thank you for joining us today, and to remind you that we do depend upon the gifts of our radio listeners in order to continue to teach on this station. Well, having concluded now our study of the first epistle of John, I believe it would be beneficial for us to enter into a study of the second epistle of John, which, of course, is going to be a lot shorter than the last study, because the second epistle of John is a lot shorter than 1 John. In fact, 2 John is one of only four books in the New Testament that constitute one chapter only. And it is, in truth, the second shortest book in the New Testament. There's only one that is shorter, and that turns out to be 3 John. Now, if you're looking at your English Bible, you might say, wait a minute, 3 John in my Bible has 14 verses, 2 John has 13 verses, so obviously 2 John is shorter than 3 John. Well, if you're counting verses, of course that is the case, but if you're counting the actual number of words that are in each epistle, you will find that in the original language, 2 John contains 245 words. 3 John has 219. So yes, 3 John is shorter by 20-some words. 2 John, however, is the second shortest book in the New Testament. The other two one-chapter books are the Little Epistle of Philemon, Paul's shortest epistle, and the Epistle of Jude, which is also quite short. But the second Epistle of John, it only takes up about half a page in my Bible. It's very short, and because of its brevity, I'm afraid it is often overlooked, but it should not be. It should not be. It is part of our Bible. The Holy Spirit of God, that is, God Almighty Himself, chose to include this book in our Bible as one of the 27 books of the New Testament, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we ought not to take any portion of God's Word and lay it aside and say, well, that can't be very important, I'll go on to something else. Oh, no. And I think we're going to find that the second epistle of John is actually a powerful book with a powerful message. Short? Yes, but powerful. Sometimes dynamite comes in small packages. Now, one of the things we're going to find in this epistle is the clearest instructions anywhere on our relationship with false teachers. False teachers are mentioned in a number of epistles. Paul talks about them quite a bit. John, in his first epistle, had a lot of things to say about false teachers, and we looked at those as we went through it. Many, many important and helpful things, but you're going to find the clearest instructions for what we are to do. We who are Christians, we who are endeavoring to be faithful to the Word of God, what we are to do in when we come into contact with false teachers. And that kind of information is not as clear in some of the other epistles, but oh, it's very clear in 2 John. We're going to be looking for that. Well, I would like to begin our study with an overview. What do you find in this short epistle of 13 verses? If you break it down into its various parts, you basically have, number one, a salutation. Number two, a body, the body of the epistle. And number three, a conclusion. The opening salutation is verses 1 through 3, and it identifies the author and the recipients and gives a greeting. Very common, very standard format for epistles. You'll find something very similar in many of the other epistles in the New Testament. The body of the book constitutes verses 4 through 11, and that contains the message. And it is a message, first of all, of encouragement in verses 4 through 6, but then it turns into a message of warning in verses 7 through 11. And we need both. We need encouragement. We do become discouraged, and we need encouragement, and God supplies that. God's Word is filled with words of encouragement. But it also contains warning, and we need that too. And some people foolishly steer away from the warnings and gravitate only to the encouragement. But let's not make that mistake. Again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all of it is profitable. All of it is needed. All of it is necessary for healthy Christianity. Not only do sometimes Christians steer away from warnings and rebukes and exhortations that have any teeth in them, to just gravitate to things that are encouraging and uplifting and devotional that seem to make life easier for us. Not only do regular Christians make that mistake, but I'm afraid that some preachers do as well, because they realize that some Christians want the encouraging parts and don't want the strong parts. They want encouragement. They don't necessarily want warning. And so the preacher, taking his clue from the tastes of his hearers, will construct his ministry accordingly. Shame on you, preacher, if that's what you're doing. It is not the preacher's prerogative to select what types of messages he's going to bring, what portions of Scripture he will consider to be profitable, and which portions are not profitable for God's people, for public ministry. It is the preacher's responsibility to faithfully deliver the whole counsel of God. That's one reason why I so strongly recommend an expository approach to preaching. I am committed to that, as you know, if you listen to the Beacon broadcast with any regularity. And one of the main reasons is because that forces me to deal with everything in the Bible and not just certain parts. I know a preacher now with the Lord who had what appeared to be a very successful ministry, if you're measuring it by numbers and visible worldly success, who was accustomed to being a topical preacher. That's what people liked. That's what he gave them. But he obviously, at some point, thought he ought to improve, and so he decided he was going to bring a series of expositions. He was going to preach through the book of Romans. Good choice. Good choice. Wow, that book of Romans. It is a book that is saturated with the gospel. And he started out well and got to chapter 8 and began to run into some difficulty in the latter part of chapter 8, and then announced to his congregation, we're going to skip chapters 9, 10, and 11 and go on, pick up again in chapter 12. Why was that? Well, because chapters 9, 10, and 11 contain some of the strongest meat, some of the strongest doctrinal meat to be found anywhere in the Bible. And there were controversial sections in there that he was not prepared to deal with and was not willing to wrestle with and to work through. It became very clear that there are some things that are so clearly said in that section that he didn't want to say, that he didn't even know if he was prepared to say, I believe that, but he certainly wasn't prepared to declare it publicly. And so let's skip now from the end of chapter 8 all the way over to chapter 12, where we get into, well, encouragement and exhortation, and we get out of this difficult doctrine. Not a good approach. Again, we are commanded to proclaim the whole counsel of God. And so, as we study the body of this epistle, we're going to see a very strong section, a very solid section of encouragement, and that will be helpful to us and will be, no doubt, inspirational to us in many ways. But we're also going to deal with a very important warning. And then, finally, the conclusion in verses 12 and 13, which will close out the book. So that's where we are going. We'll get into that a bit on the broadcast tomorrow. We'll continue, actually, with an overview, talking about the author and the recipients and some things we know to give us background to this epistle, so that when we come back and start looking at it verse by verse by verse, we'll be better prepared to understand what the Holy Spirit has given to us in this inspired portion of God's Word. So thank you for joining us today. Please come back again tomorrow. And until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day, and may God give you His eternal peace.